And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here on Declare, your independence, and me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Utiful Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, what we're going to be talking about is, with Michael McGillicuddy, we're going to be talking about Anarchazona. Now, the first thing is when and where. Now, this is this Saturday from, it's like 10 to 5, you know, but you go to Anarchazona.com, Anarchizona.com. Go to Anarchazona.com. You'll see the schedule and all the speakers and so on. Probably a lot of the names that you know, Larkin Rose, myself, Ernest Hancock. Jeff Berwick, you know, Amanda Roschwitz. Let's see. Oh, Tempa Chope, man, he's going to get you learnified. So this will be good. Now we met Michael at Anarchapoco. I got Anarchazona in my head. I got to rethink and, you know, remember the name. You know, Anarchapoco, and he had talked about this before. Tim had mentioned it to me, and I go, yeah, hell yeah, Arizona. Oh, and Sedona? That'd be awesome. Let's do that. So, Michael, go ahead and introduce yourself. Well, I'll give you a little bit of bio here. I got an introduction, but then I want to hear about how this came about. Michael became an anarchist, a freedomist, while in China, while working as a cowboy and teacher in Australia in 2011. He successfully invested in silver before using the proceeds to begin his first business, Peanut Butter Americano, the best peanut butter in the world. I'm a peanut butter fan. Yeah, I can do that. That's good. Over the last 5 years, Michael has lived in China, founding Yubanfa, meaning you can. He has, yes, we can. He has spread the message of peace and freedom, especially in the area of unschooling, where he recently hosted Dana Martin, David Rodriguez, and Lef Sid. Yeah, we know David. His mission in his life is to help create and live in a stateless society, and feels that organizing Anarchazona is a dream come true. All right, Michael, tell me every little old thing, man. You know, this is a, it'd be nice to, you know more about you, but first, we'll get into that, but I want to know Anarchazona. Why? Where did that come from? And you already had it, you know, planned before you went to Anarchapoco, mm-hmm. You know, so go ahead and tell me everything.
All right, man. So thank you for having me here. Thank you for the introduction. And basically, last like 5 or 6 years living in Arizona, I felt super alone as the only person who cared about freedom. I thought it was me and then two other people. I didn't know.
Where did you live?
I lived in Phoenix, Central Phoenix.
What kind of slacktivist are you, man?
Man.
You didn't find where were you looking?
I was looking on Lou Rockwell. I was looking on Casey Research. I didn't know anything was in Phoenix. Like, I didn't know anything. And then when I went to Anarchapoco last year in 2018, all this, like, you saw, yeah, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. And then Tim Mitchell, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. And Amanda, I'm from Phoenix. And I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of anarchists here. And, I got to do something. And so.
Well, what had you been doing?
A lot of nothing. A lot of reading. I created the Peanut Butter Company and. Yeah, my speech at Anarchapoco was about how I wasn't doing a whole lot and how I started to actually flip the switch and start doing things.
So when did you start coming aware? I mean, you just like...
2010.
Well, by 10, there was, I mean, the Lovelution started here.
Right? Yeah, I was with Ron Paul in 2012, but all I did was just go to one...
Arizona?
Yeah, it was in Tempe, I think, or Mesa. Just one rally, and then it's like, okay, well, that was cool. That's it.
Yeah, man. There's so much stuff going on.
No, man.
You know, Freedom's Phoenix been since 05. You know, we've been doing the radio show since 03. You know, we've been activists here for like, you know, 30 years. A lot of the Liberty Nexus usually has been centered around like the Libertarian Party. And anybody that does anything Libertarian Party is like,
yeah, that was the thing. I did Students for Liberty for a little bit, and it's like, all right, that's boring. Let's go home.
Yeah. The conventions have been, certainly the National Convention has been like, like the high school dance. You know, Drew Phillips did it better. He goes, it's like the high school dance where you go to find out where the cool kids are really partying, you know? So that's what you're finding out by doing an Arcazona. Mm-hmm. You're starting to go, damn, and there's a bunch of people. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, exactly.
So when you, what was the prompting of that? What was the first incarnation of your dream, and what were you thinking, and why Sedona? What was the first thing, the name? I mean, when did this start?
All right, this came after Anarchapulco 2018 when I went back to China. And like the idea was in my head, like this person's here, Larkin Rose is here, Amanda Rockwitz is here. Like, I want to do an Acapulco in Arizona. And like, you know, because the goal is a free society. And I didn't know there were so many of us here. And after an Acapulco, I felt so good and like, you know, like I could do things. And so I wanted to give that feeling to other people who might have been feeling like I was just sort of the only one.
With you, brother, man.
Yeah,
and
man.
So many times there's been. You're just inspired by inspiration is a big part of what we try and do.
Yeah.
Just inspired by doing it. Mm-hmm. And I call it quantum reality. You know, I go, what does that mean? I go, I don't know. If I start doing it, it happens.
Yes.
Well, they did it. I go, I don't care who does it. I just want it done.
Right.
I don't need to build it. I want to buy it. I just start doing it, and all of a sudden, everybody does it. And they go, how does that work? I don't know, but I know it works.
Right.
If I just start doing it, like all this stuff you see that we're doing here, you know, mm-hmm. we start doing it, and it just happens.
Right.
How?
Right.
Because it does. You know, and it's just like what you're doing.
Right.
You know, how does this happen? Well, you just start doing it, and all of a sudden, Larkin Rose is in Arizona a lot of the time now. You got Amanda. You got myself.
Mm-hmm.
You met Tim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, Jeff Berwick. Did you have to pay him to come up? Or he's like, yeah, I'll go. What the hell?
The latter, he said, I think I have time. Yeah. Yeah, I can be there. I need a reminder, but yeah. Sounds good.
I need a reminder. He definitely needs a reminder. He needs somebody holding his hand, drag his ass out to the plane. What you need.
He's going to be there, though. This is awesome. Yeah, Ivan Oyola Jr. too. He put together a Freedom Conference with Mark Passio and Benny Wills as well. And so he's stepping out from the backstage to deliver a speech for the first time. So I'm excited for him. And
Passio, we met at Anarchapulco. I gotta keep these straight.
Yeah.
You know, Anarchapulco last year at the request of one of our supporters. There's a big Pacquiao fan. And so we met him, and he just happened. He's kind of, you know, slow getting back to anybody. Well, he just spoke down the street here at the Thunderbirds International Graduate School that's like a mile and a half away from here. And he was there, and I showed up. I go, hello. Man, you better get your butt on the show. So we had some financial support for him, and he got hooked up and got a lot of his equipment and things that he needed and so on. So I'm just going, look, man, I'm telling you, man, you got fans. Mm-hmm. You know, and you come to Arizona, stuff happens. Well, this is – are you trying to get people to be introduced to each other, be exposed to it, start the network? Is there, you know, a secret club handshake?
The club handshake. Yeah. That's only for the cool kids, though.
Cool kids.
Yeah. So
he's not allowed.
Just kidding. So I wrote down the purpose of it is to connect, empower, and synergize the area's freedom lovers together, because there's strength in numbers, and when we all get together, something more powerful than the sum of our parts emerges.
Always. You know, this is one thing that we're working on. Because we wanted to have some technological help, and a lot of things that we need is tech stuff that, you know, we're going into this next wave of deplatforming and censoring and all that kind of stuff. And I did a search for Interplanetary File Sharing Arizona, and I found a year ago the hackers here and the Makerspace guys were really pumping on it a year ago, and now they've been trying to monetize, and they're speaking, and they're making stuff. So we're going to start hooking up with these guys and coming over and be part of this project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once a week we're doing different things. I'd like to include you in that, and I think you'd have fun with it.
Happy to. Happy
to
be here.
This is, you know, 'cause I... you know, one less thing I got to do, be evangelizing what we're doing and stuff, and you're wanting to do it, let's do it.
Let's do it.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to AgristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's AgristHosting.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock. All right. We're having fun. We're learning what we're going to be able to do. And a lot of this synergy, you know, it just comes together when somebody actually starts doing something. And one of the things that Michael McGillicuddy, am I saying that right, McGillicuddy?
Yeah.
You know, Michael, he goes, I'm just going to have a freedom anarchist thing in there because I'm just going to, when did that happen?
It was like May 2018 or June. I was living in the Chinese countryside, and I think just one night, like, I'm going to do anarcha. Oh, it was after Anarcha Portugal. Then I thought, well, I want to do my own thing. I didn't know that was a thing. Okay, I'll do Anarcha Zona. Because as I said, there's so many of us
out here.
Well,
how'd you wind up Sedona?
All right, so a good friend who I met at last year's in Acapulco lived in Chandler, and I reached out to him, or he might have reached out to me, I can't remember, but he suggested Sedona because he said there's lots of like spiritually inclined people who might be statist right now, but they can be maybe turned and the energy's real high. And he just said it has a different vibe than Phoenix. And so I said, okay, yeah, Sedona's cool. Let's do it.
Yeah,
there.
No, Sedona's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of the, you know, like Northern Arizona, when we do the Jackalope in the first weekend in August, and we do it in the first week in August because during the monsoon.
Yeah.
And so it rains a little bit every afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of anarchists in the forest probably won't burn something down then, you know, because there is to be concerned. But the, and it's been an experiment and it's been going, God, it's the seventh or eighth year.
Uh-huh.
And Alma and I wanted to, you know, we both wanted to do something just like you, but our motivation was Donna and I were at, we've been going to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, Pork Fest, in New Hampshire every year for the past decade or so. And they started getting a little bit too corporate, a little bit too many papers to fill out, you know, too many permits, too much, you know, orchestration, the central planning of something. And I'm going, let's just go in the forest and no permit or not, see what happens and see how long you can keep this unorganized. Well, Alma wants to organize. She's all about, you know, the jackalope. I go, nah, you can do whatever you want, at the Jackalope. What's the Jack? I don't know. I don't know Jack. I don't know Jack who, you know. So that's what's been our safety. The only collectivizing was Jack, you know, somehow paid Bitcoin for, or Bitcoin Cash or whatever, for the outhouses, you know, for the porta potties.
Nice.
We had a lot of porta potties. They just showed up. Jack takes care of business, you know.
Right on.
So, and then the trash thing, we got some guy like, you know, Dean, a friend of mine, he always brings this big trailer just for trash. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, make a donation, I'll haul everybody's trash away. So he gives him $5, $10, trash taken care of.
That's
boom.
Yeah.
So other than that, they go, well, who's on the stage and which time? I don't know.
Yeah, whenever.
Yeah, whatever. You know, get your own flyers. You know, do your own thing. Write your own up, you know, put up your script. Somebody should. I go, yes, they should. I think you should get right on that. So it's been an experiment that has worked out pretty well. Now, it gets a little out of hand sometimes, and stuff happens, but, and I just move a little further away. I go down the road a little further. I go a little higher on the mountain. Mm-hmm. I'll be downtown when I feel like it.
Right.
So this has been a good experiment in this. And my mistake, I know Alma will be introducing me, but I just know Alma. She's been, as much as she goes about anarchists and how much anarchist, she's an anarchist. Just, well, we need to put this here and this over there. I'm going, see, that's exactly when you start getting in trouble, is when you try to organize it too much on something that is meant to be disorganized. The chaos reign, and it kind of gets spontaneous order. So this experiment is running. There's always the person. There's always that one person that does something to something, whatever. So I love Alma, let her peace out, but this is the experiment, is how long can you keep it disorganized? Because the second it does, then you start getting all the phone calls from the good and bad guys. Mm. You been getting any calls from the bad guys yet?
Not yet.
So they want to explain it to you. So the facility that you got there seems really nice. Mm-hmm. How'd that come about?
It was recommended by a few people, and I called them. The rates were reasonable, and they were nice to talk to. And luckily, actually, they were booked except for that last weekend of March, like for the whole spring and summer, except for that. So it just worked out perfectly.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome time. Yeah. You know, it's still probably a little bit cool in the mornings up there. It's just starting to warm up.
Right.
You know, I just came from Maine. I mean, it sucked. You know, it's starting to warm up, so everything melts and it turns to ice overnight, and it's like a sheet of ice the entire state. You can't walk anywhere.
Jeez, man.
So all these Arizona people dying and stuff.
Right.
You know, but come here, I get on the plane in Maine, Bangor, Maine, with these sandals and these shorts.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because they're all looking at me. What? I go, hey man, I'm gonna be hot when I get off. You know. So I don't want to hear it. The so you decided where you're gonna have it. You found out when you're gonna have it. And then how did you get the speakers? I heard about it from Tim.
Sure. It was kind of a multi-pronged approach. Part of it was actually a lot of it was just going to Anarchapulco, and I was on the stage this year. The activism stage with David Rodriguez. And I just reached out to people on Facebook, and it was actually really surprising that everybody just said, like, yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, I want to come. Yeah, like that. I was I sort of invited too many people at the beginning, and then sort of like, well, maybe next
Well, how many people do you think you're going to have attending that have bought tickets or whatever?
I think there's going to be over 100.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, man.
Facility there probably hold maybe 200.
Yeah, that's their max capacity.
Yeah, so it's and then you always, if you already know you got 100, it means you're going to have 130, you know.
Right.
So
right.
That's, you know, they always showing up at the door. I don't want anybody to know I'm going to an Anarchapulco, just that I went to an Anarchapulco.
Right.
They, you know, I don't want to encourage the Hellfire missiles. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. The man will be there.
Yes, he will. I got a couple jokes ready for him.
Yeah, no. The man's I remember from Cerno Cerro's about the GI movement in the Vietnam War on the bases. Mm-hmm. You know, they had like these coffee houses around every base, and it was all. And it says, you know, the man is welcome here. And he goes, well, it's not that he's welcome. He's just always here. You know, we just want to make sure you know. Mm-hmm. So, you got to be careful what you go advocate. What are you advocating?
Right.
What are you hoping is going to happen?
Peace, freedom, and elevation of consciousness. We're all brothers and sisters on this world, and so we need to stop treating each other like animals and using force against each other as the central pillar of our society, namely having a government.
Well, you're going to have to have something that makes them obsolete.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to structure that? What are you going to do? Are you going to go pirate or something? Kind of got a pirate shirt on, man. You look kind of pirate to me.
Do I get a pirate? I got blue and white on. Yeah.
You're kind of piratey, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm a society designer, that I know exactly what the right thing is. I just know that using force against people is wrong. And so after that, I don't know what would happen, but it'd be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, we're going to talk, you know, a lot about this stuff. The presentations, you have quite a few of them, but they're really short.
Yeah.
You know, they're only, what, 20?
25 minutes.
Yeah, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. So this is going to, how did Alma get hold of you? How did that come about?
Mike Basic, can I keep talking?
Yeah.
Mike Basic reached out to me on Facebook, and then he recommended that I talk to Alma Summer. Yeah, like, I didn't know any of these people until I started doing this, and then they all started to come out of the woodwork, so to speak.
So there was a guy, she goes, well, I can introduce, let me introduce Ernie. I might even let him talk some. You know, I know how this is going to go.
Right.
But I don't mind her promoting, you know, Jackalope. It's appropriate for there, because a lot of people from around the Southwest go.
Yeah, I want to go. Liberty,
cryptocurrency. Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Yeah, we're getting to know each other a little bit. Michael McGillicuddy, another ad. Are you an ad or a subtraction? Are you getting added to the community? Or are you going to be a distraction to the community? Are you there at the workshop to work or keep other people from working? I mean, and you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's like a honeycomb hideout. I'm here, and where's the dubage? And give me a couch, and I'll sit here and hang and honor you with my presence, and nothing will get done.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm like,
that's not me.
No.
Yeah.
No. Next.
Are you a faucet or a drain?
Ooh, that's good. Add or subtraction. Faucet, drain. All right, who told you that? Where'd you get that from?
I came up with that one.
A faucet or a drain?
Yeah.
See, we're in the right. Yeah, we're good. All right. So what? Is there events? Is there something after this is all done? Is there an afterglow going to the vortex of humming or something?
Nothing official. All nothing right. official.
So there may be some unofficial humming on the vortex of whatever Sedona. All right, because that's, you know, and that seems like you're kind of opened up to, you know, the get our mind right crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell me about that.
Which one?
No, I mean, you know, just kind of, you know, like you were saying, Sedona's kind of free thinking.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Yeah. So, you know, those people who want the better world up in Sedona and the spiritual type of people, they're our allies. They just don't know it yet, you know.
How are you marketing this? Who's? I mean, you got over 100 people will be there,
uh-huh.
And which is a small little event, and you're kind of are you going to make money on this thing?
Maybe
you might even come out ahead.
Maybe
you freaking win, man.
Maybe.
Right? You even come break even. You woo-hoo!
Right? Exactly. We're getting there. Yeah, we kept tickets low. We got some good sponsors. Thanks to all the sponsors who are going to be there. They helped out a lot. Yeah.
So where is your job down here? What do you do? What's your day job?
I don't have a day job.
Oh, yeah, you're a peanut butter guy.
I used to be a peanut butter guy. I got out of that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Come out all right?
2013. It was all right. Yeah. Peanut butter is still good.
Yeah, peanut butter, yummy.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's really good. You should have some.
I'm always going to Winco and grinding my own of combination of whatever the heck, but who the hell knows where that stuff comes from.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing.
Yeah, be careful with that stuff.
You get that in the 55-gallon barrel, you know, mm-hmm. of cashews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go, God, I really like cashews. Just not so much from there, you know. It's just they're not sealed. They're not fresh. They're not. So then you start going back to the canned stuff, and then you don't know that. And
mm-hmm.
and it's got all this preservative and 15 gazillion scientific names
and
whatever. That's another thing. It's just food. Well, you see our rig out here.
Yeah, it's cool.
And chickens and aquaponic mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. We're trying to, you know. I feel better. I might live a few more decades now.
Yep, I'm working on that too. Well, I'll bring you a jar next time.
Boom. Done.
Yes.
Now I'm all over that.
So, yeah, I just got back from China a few months ago, and so I'm kind of looking for a job. I'm getting the sort of pressure from my parents about when are you going to get a job type of thing.
Are you staying with them, or do you have your own place?
Yeah, I'm staying with them right now.
Yeah, they're kind of giving you the hairy eyeball and say, hey, you need to get off your ass, man.
The gentle pressure. They just want what they think is best. And I understand.
Well, how old are you?
32.
Oh, you're living at home at 30. Man, if you aren't a freaking example of, you know. Well, what were you doing in China?
A lot of things. Started off by teaching English and then got involved in with a school that, you know, I don't really want to go in there. A lot of foreigners have sort of trouble in China. But then the last like year and a half, I started teaching guitar to people. And then I started teaching Bitcoin to people.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had Bitcoin startup parties because everybody...
In China?
Yeah, in China.
So man, you found a whole new class of friends.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're
okay, what's the mindset in China when it comes to cryptocurrency?
How much money can we make?
So it's a money thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the next coin to invest? What about Filecoin? Hey, Michael, what do you think about Filecoin? What is Filecoin? It's the biggest next ICO. Never heard of it. Look into it. And then...
You know what Filecoin is?
It's like IPFS, right?
Yeah, it's the same guys that did that. They're trying to monetize mm-hmm. the storage and distribution of the data.
Right.
I didn't know that they were the same people mm-hmm. until, I don't know, a month or two ago.
Right.
And I'm going, what? At least MadeSafe, which wants to do this mm-hmm. whole operating, so everything, you know, it's all one big giant thing. Well... They could probably release a messenger or do a text app or an email, something. I mean, do something. Well, they're trying to do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What IPFS did is they go, here's the protocol. Here's how it would work. It gives you some mutable forever and always kind of stuff that we're using. Mm-hmm. And then we're developing this Filecoin, this crypto that financially incentivizes that to mm-hmm. where you're rewarded with file coins, these cryptos, for storing the data and distributing the data, and this is kind of what keeps track of it. And I'm going, that's good. But this IPFS thing already works, right?
Right.
I just tell you, and I go, okay, well, I'm not waiting on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've been waiting for 4 or 5 years on MadeSafe. We're not waiting anymore.
Yeah.
We can do it. Now, if you get the incentive and financial later on, okay, peace. But that's where they, them, those... put the roadblocks and the hurdles mm-hmm. and, you know, the distractions mm-hmm. and kind of all in the code and the infiltration of the screw them, man, we'll just do it.
Yeah.
And it just happens. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, I think Anarkozona is, you just did it. Just doing it.
Did
How
it.
Did you pull the trigger? What did you, a Facebook post or something? What?
It was a Chipotle meeting with my partner in this. And yeah, he was in. And then when I was in China, then he sort of got busy with other things, and you know, I couldn't organize an event from China, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got back and I said, hey, let's do this, man. Are you in? Yeah, I'm in. And then after that, it was, I think I bought the website earlier last year, we transferred it over, and then he had a web developer just go to work on it. I wrote out here's how it should look like that, over like, you know, a weekend in January, and then boom, it's up. It's a real thing. And then we got Tim, I think, he got Irina Eismont to be our first confirmed speaker, so it was an official thing. And then Tim was next, and then everybody just sort of fell into place after that.
I was looking forward to supporting. You see, we got banners all over.
Yeah, man.
We've been pimping it.
Thank you.
Tim's pushing it, and mm-hmm. so I'm sure we got a couple people to go.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot in the community here, been mm-hmm. from the Levolution and, you know, all that stuff. And a lot of these guys are like going, "What took you so long? I've been waiting on you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know what the hell. Now we have, you know, Freedom Summits and different things that we do. But it's not really, because my partner in that, Mark Victor, he's a criminal defense mm-hmm. attorney, and he's kind of, you know, a little bit, well, we got to work with the system to be, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
We do have libertarian Supreme Court justices here in Arizona. So, you know, it's kind of, we got, you know, things going on. And I'm going, no, it's going to get, no. And are you going to introduce your friend?
Not this time.
Okay.
She's shy.
So she wants to, quiet. Where's she from?
She's from China.
China?
Yeah.
Oh, are you just visiting or are you here now?
She's here.
You're here?
Mm-hmm.
Legally?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whatever, like I care.
Yeah.
The So this is someone you met there?
Uh-huh. Yeah. In Shenzhen.
Uh-huh.
Sold her peanut butter, actually.
Now, Shenzhen, which is... on the mainland just north of Hong Kong?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of people in the community has moved there to get manufacturing of mm-hmm. gizmos and gadgets.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going, yeah, like the stuff over there. They go, here, I just give them a napkin with a schematic and what I want to do and kind of a guy on a bicycle, and 3 days later they come with a prototype.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing. Is that pretty much how it works?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, man. They are, like, coming back here, it's... No offense, but it's kind of like back in the Stone Age, more or less. They are so far ahead in some ways than
Well, give me examples. What do you mean?
Okay, so like nobody uses credit cards, for example. When they do, everybody uses an app called WeChat, where they have their renminbi stored in their WeChat account, and they just transfer it like instantly without any fees or anything like that.
Is that a state bank thing, or
It's connected to the state banks. Okay, and so I'm not saying it's great or anything. I'm just saying it's
I understand. Yeah. I'm just wondering what fuels it behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody links their bank account to their WeChat account, and then they just put their money in there.
Of course they do.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to tell me about this the social score thing.
All right, so I got out. I mean, I saw what was coming, and with Mr. X, and basically
Mr. X, what do you mean Mr. X? What's Mr. X?
Mr. Xi.
Oh, okay, so what is he, Prime Minister,
Xi Dada,
President,
big guy.
Lord God King Bufu of all he surveys, whatever the title he has, he's the head guy. He's the guy that gets to shake hands with Trump. So this, when we come back, we want to find out, because it has a lot where we're going here, and it's here, and heck, U.S. companies helping them there.
Yeah.
The first letter of Dr. Idris Barber. I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the Crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here to take Michael's guest. Yeah, she's from China. She doesn't want guys. No, I got something to say. Well, there's the mic. She's like, no, I don't want to talk on there. I want to tell you about it, though.
I'll speak for her.
Okay, go ahead. Her main concern, one thing that is interesting about this Chinese social scores is that what was the response? Now, here in the U.S., we're going, what the hell are you guys? Well, then there's some younger social justice warrior in university bound. Of course, we should have the government tell us what to do because you're not doing what I want you to do. So we need to be in there to influence what they're telling everybody to do so that they can make everybody do what I want them to do, And in China, they're just going, okay, this is what we're supposed to do now, and sign me up for whatever, and I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? They're starting to get some pockets of resistance. They starting to see what this means, or are they just getting in line?
Getting in line. Yeah. They're just getting in line, and they're just trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to get the highest score with the least amount of work? What are the little.
Don't jaywalk!
Yeah. Oh, no, okay, won't jaywalk, but how do I get... Because, I'll buy this type of rice or this type of vegetable because that means my score goes up, and then I'll just...
Wait.
Yeah.
Consumer-purchased goods or items brands help your score go up.
Or down. If you buy too much alcohol or something like that, then it goes down because then you're a deadbeat drunk. no good for society.
Well, I mean, is there something that's like you're selling your anarchist peanut butter in Shenzhen. Uh-huh. They go, oh, no, you buying that, your score's going down.
The small stuff, like, the thing about China, they have so many people. It's way more than 1.3 billion in my estimation, because that's the official statistic, yeah. And everything is so unofficial there. It's like wild, wild east. And so as long as you're not a big fish, like, they have so many other things to do, and they'll leave you alone. Also, the people in the Chinese government, a lot of them, they want to do the least amount of work. They just want to, you know, drink tea and get their paycheck. They're not out looking for trouble like people here. Like people in the
So if there's not a 3x5 card on their desk to tell them they got to do something, they don't do it.
Basically. And so, then even if there is, they'll be like, oh, I didn't see that. I never saw anything.
Or somebody gave me a little something to not see.
Right.
You know, so how is corruption there? I mean, I hear you, oh, corrupt, you know, boom, and they're dead, or they, you know, you get the bullet or go to jail for a long time, and a corruption of that. And is it corruption that they're not doing what the state wants them to do, or corruption that they're actually doing something bad? I mean, you know, what's the corruption, you think?
It probably goes all over. I mean, this is just anecdotal evidence, and I was just in one little pocket. But, for example, you know, all foreigners are supposed to register with the police department within 24 hours of that thing. Like, I never did that. And then, like, went in 2 years later, and I just knew the police officer because I taught her kid at the time. Like, hey, what's up? I guess I have to do this. And like, oh, yeah, it's okay. Just come back. You know, whenever you check in with your visa, like, okay, I'm not going to, but okay. You know what I mean? And never any follow-up or anything like that. They have a million rules, but as my guest said, that, you know, if you follow all the rules, then you're poor and hungry and dead. So, you know, the rules are there to keep people out, and they know that. And so they just find ways to go around the rules rather than go
keep them out of what?
Keep them out of the cookie jar, or like keep all the good stuff for themselves. Does that make sense?
They who? The society or the bureaucrats?
Bureaucrats,
or
state, big business, stuff like that. You know, the people who...
So if you're not... this is the impression that I got. That was in a nutshell, as I talked to a lot of people that travel. Coming in the next hour, Frank spent time in China. He's also lived a year at a Buddhist monastery.
Cool.
You know, and then he's got a little ponytail from his, you know, Japanese training. And he got his license there. I mean, so this is... You know, got his a medical degree. And so he's Asianed up. Mm-hmm. The boy's got it going on. But the one thing is, I talk to a lot of people, including him and so on, is that I get the impression that the people there, they understand that there's this big giant thing over there, and they just live their life. And as long as they don't challenge the state, mm-hmm. as long as you're not going after them and you're working in the cracks and just doing your business and you're not voting against or having an umbrella revolution or yep. going around and doing, heck, even the, what was it? It was like a religion. It was an exercise religion.
Falun Gong.
Yeah. Gong. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. They're out. Why was that such a threat? Because it just... It's like PewDiePie. He had too many subscribers.
That's what happened. You know,
that was it?
Well, with Falun Gong in the early 90s, they were promoted by the Communist Party because they were helping people exercise and be healthy. And so everybody's like, these guys are awesome. And the Communist Party's like, yeah, they're awesome. They're with us. You know, we're good friends. And they got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And towards the end of the 90s, they just said, like, wait a second, these people... people are listening more to them than to us, and so we need to get rid of them.
It's just opinion. It's just general public opinion, and they have an opinion about, and they got to get the pastors on the 501c3 of tell the people to give up their guns and Katrina hurricane mm-hmm. kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, and if you're not there willing to do what the state wants, mm-hmm. if you're not the pointy hat, you know, Catholic guy in Russia, you know, that, you know, takes his ultimate orders from Putin kind of deal, mm-hmm. you're so freaking not allowed. Mm-hmm. So it's just... Who controls public opinion? And it better freaking be the state.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where you're going,
oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is, you see, as long as you're doing something, it's kind of like that way here in America, to where they don't really care if you don't pay your taxes, but you better not be teaching anybody.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is what I see China, as long as you're just doing your own thing and you're making, building, and doing whatever. Now, what happens when you become popular? You're the biggest peanut butter guy in the world, you know, and they come up and they say, you know what? You know, a little something for the home team here.
Exactly. When I was doing Bitcoin, some people who I was living next to who sort of were plugged into that whole system, like a TV producer,
yeah.
He was saying, like, all right, Michael, you got to be careful, though. You're like, if you're going to make a lot of money with this type of thing, they're going to come, they're going to invite you for tea, and they're going to just tell you this is how it's going to be, type of thing.
Did you get the tea?
I didn't get the tea. No, I kind of got freaked out a little bit, and then that sort of put a damper on my activities, you know what I mean?
Yeah, see, that's one thing. We're not, that's one thing that has been observed when, you know, the what do they call it? Panopticon thing. It's like when you're in prison, they got this one position in the middle. They see everything.
Right.
You know, and it's just, if you know you're under surveillance, it changes the way you act and what you do and what you, you don't have that feeling of freedom. Do you feel more free in America, in Arizona, or do you feel the same oppression coming?
Different. I mean, like when I see a police car in my rearview mirror here, I'm like, oh shit, like that. But in China, it's like, oh, whatever. They're not going to do anything. Honestly, I probably felt more I won't say that. Different aspects. Like, I can say whatever I want here, and it doesn't matter. In China, I had to really think about how I would structure my arguments and what words I would choose to use. And that's more, it's not because people...
How well do you speak Chinese?
Pretty well. Yeah. I was on TV and Chinese radio a couple times.
I'm wondering how much you misspoke. I'm in trouble. You know,
right?
your friend here, you know, she's going, damn, you should not have said that.
That never really happened. No, I mean, all I would say is basically, you know, I'd do the whole anarchist thing without being an anarchist, without coming out and say it.
I'm just against coercion. Boom, you're in jail.
Well, then they'd say like, yeah, so are we. You know, they'd be like, yeah, we us too, type of thing. Yeah. They're just trying to confuse everybody. You know, they want it. They're the good guys. Like,
where do you think this is going? We got like a minute or two left. Sure. We'll be able to talk a little bit before Frank. And you guys can hang out for a little while.
We can hang out.
Yeah, you probably enjoy Frank.
Cool.
You know, the, but he's always late anyway. So, you know, whatever. They say, hey, Frank, I know you're going to be late because you're Frank. You know, that's just the way it is. It's like a running joke here. You can't make it before the music starts. The one thing that I would think that he'd be interested in is, what's the future in China? Where do you think this is going to go? Is there pressure from the middle class? What? Is there a middle class?
Yeah, there's more and more of a middle class. For China, I see it sort of possibly imploding. They've got a lot of
debt.
Structure. Yeah, a lot of debt and a lot of cracks beneath the surface that nobody sees, kind of like what we did. And also, too, they don't have a... Like, their society is built on force and central planning, and that always falls apart eventually.
And so, you're seeing the cracks? It's just...
Yeah.
It's like the Soviet Union when it broke up. It was all the black market and corruption that kept it going.
Sure.
You know, and then when it all fell apart, they go, well, I know where to get my anyway.
Same thing with China. I mean, they'll just go back to the farm, stuff like that, if things get really crazy. But yeah, I mean, they work way harder than American people do. They never turn off, and like they're driven. Like, they hit rock bottom 40 years ago, and they remember that, and so they're just working hard to build something better.
To build what? The concept to build it for themselves?
For themselves and their family. For their family. They don't really care about the state. They just want it to, like, you know, they'll do whatever they say. Like, yeah, whatever. Just, you know,
leave it alone. Where's their revenue come from? Is there, like, an income tax or taxes on everything? What?
I think they tax businesses a lot under the table, and then just little by little. They do a ton of import taxes, too. Like, when I tried to import the peanut butter, there was 95% tariff.
Whoa!
Yeah. But no, it's just 325% that compound and, you know, like that. So that's how they get you.
Yeah. Maybe Trump has an idea. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. We'll talk a little bit more. We go into the break here so we can yak it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I was trying to encourage you to get Frank. Would be a great speaker.
Yeah.
You know, he's certainly, if not this year, next. And we're trying to get his butt up there. You know, the Frank is a naturopath. He came to Arizona after he got his medical degree in Japan because in Arizona, you know, you can prescribe and do some surgeries and all that kind of. So he has his medical practice. In the last couple of years after Obamacare came, he finally got the six doctors there. They all take cash now. They don't do any insurance. He never has. He just knew the system. He goes, hell no, I'm not doing it. And he's, you know, prominent men's health guy, you know, like prostate cancer and all that's his main thing.
Yeah.
And so he does really well. See, James Bev wants to know from down bump stock band. Okay, so we got, you know, some questions for Frank. Is he up?
Not yet. Hang on. I'm dealing with pictures.
So One thing in, I Frank asked you some questions, but in China, I'm just wondering the cultural landscape of the youth. So when you got young people and they go to like Bitcoin stuff, mm-hmm. they doing Bitcoin, I just want to make money, right. or do they understand the anarchy behind it?
They just want to make money. For the most, I mean, oh.
Yeah, you got to get on the mic.
Yeah, man. They just want to make money. They don't really care about the anarchy.
So they becoming really, this communist country is becoming, you know, you got a quarter or half hour, I mean, at least a quarter of the planet's population, and they're all capitalized and they want to just make money. They're not,
that's the,
you
know, Chinese.
How does money and communism go together? I don't understand.
Well, how does communism and ancient Chinese culture go together?
I know.
Yeah, right? Because they were the ancient traders and they were the Silk Road people.
And here it comes again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are they privatizing a lot of, you know, it's being subcontracted out, or it's all central plan of the command of the state?
Everything or the Silk Road project?
You know, the Silk Road Project is going to become everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the focus of all their export-import kind of, you know, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You there, Frank? Donna, is he there?
Should be.
Are you there, Frank?
Yeah, I'm here. Got
okay,
me?
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, Ernie, just to tell Donna to look at her phone. I sent her two videos to open the show with, and it explains it. It's only like a minute or so, but it's a great introduction for today.
All right, Donna,
yeah?
Go ahead and put them into the archive of the third hour so I can access it and do it. Frank doesn't make anything easy, and sure as hell not until the last minute.
Yeah, 7 minutes. It's like,
okay, yeah, YouTube, tell Don, you got 7 minutes, Don. I don't know what your problem is.
No, I've got five.
No. Frank said it's only just... Okay,
oh,
in Arkansas, we have in studio Michael McGillicuddy and his guest from China. Now, he taught English and did that thing in China and did some business, you know, making peanut butter and kind of working in China. Now he's back here doing in Arkansas. And I know you had some experiences in China, so we were talking about their credit, you know, social scores and how the young people and their mindset is, she's telling me here, Madam X here, she's telling us, you know, they're just going along with the program. They just, yes, yeah, how can I game it and get a higher score if I get something? You know, what's your, been your experience with the culture there?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you think you're going to do? What's the future?
Well, ni hao.
Ni hao.
Well, I guess basically, you know, they're a cross between the new capitalism of America, and they take a lot of leads from Japan as well. You know, the culture from Japan and also from America, and of course their own culture. So, you know, it's you know, a lot of you have to see what Japan does. You know, they had at least prior been the kind of the technological lead. You know, everything kind of influenced from manga cartoons and the technology and how to use it. But at the same time, you know, they take leads from America and the independence from America. So I don't know. I mean, it's you know, the China, when I was there and it was like 97. I mean, it's changed quite a bit. I mean, I used to skate with. I was the first person, I think they said, they've seen with inline skates, and I skated around Tiananmen Square around the bike lanes, which that's back then. I mean, matter of fact, I used to hang on to the back of rickshaws that they would pull me around, and all the taxi drivers would be sitting there slowing down taking pictures of me with a kooky American, right?
Yep.
But anyway, so I remember doing that, and of course I hear that's completely different too. The bike lanes are not quite the bike lanes anymore. I mean, it's sped up. I mean, remember, I was there also in 97, right during the transition from Hong Kong. And I saw Prince Charles wave and cry when they had to lower the Union Jack as he gave up Hong Kong. And I remember watching it live. And then the Chinese soldiers, you know, coming in and looking at Hong Kong and looking up at these skyscrapers. Their job was to protect Hong Kong. And the Hong Kong people are like, you know, just get out of our way. We're busy making money. And the Chinese soldiers like, what the hell is this place? You know, so it was a very interesting time with that transition, the Pearl of the Orient, they call, you know, which is Hong Kong. You know, but all of this has changed. I mean, and not to mention, you know, with the integration of our culture with the internet. Back then, there was no exposure to American anything. And after I left, right after I left, this little movie came out called Titanic. And I think it was the the head of China at the time, allowed the first American movie, you know, to be shown, which was Titanic, I believe, which, you know, is kind of a testament to James Cameron that way. I think it was edited a little bit. I think the little bit of nudity was taken out, but aside from that, that opened up to the world now, where every single, you know, American movie has to put a couple token Chinese people in there, in every Marvel and Disney flick, in order to try and, you know, sell it to them. So it's kind of a different world, and I'm sure guest probably knows more there. The other issue is with Donald Trump, you know, and we'll talk about him in a few minutes. But
okay,
you know,
do you have the video up? Yes, no.
One of them is up.
Okay,
Ernie, just so you know, it's really simple. Just open up with the Rocky theme for like 20 seconds and then go right into the second video, which basically talks about the turnaround for Trump. It's like 1 minute, it's funny, and it's perfect opening. So Rocky theme, 20 seconds, and then go into the second video for like a minute, and then we can jump in.
Okay, well, maybe. You know, Donna gets it up in time, so, I mean, you know, right. You're asking a lot from her, she's going to hate you. It's not me, it's you now, it's him. Haven't hated him.
All right, fine, blame me.
Here we go.